The big question, who will the president add to his economic team?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. He's the latest administration official to announce his resignation. The White House announced late yesterday that Larry Summers, the president's top economic advisor, will be heading back to Harvard at the end of the year. He joins Budget Director Peter Orszag and top economist Christina Romer as those who won't see 2011 at the White House. Marketplace's Elisa Roth joins us live from our New York bureau to talk about it. Good morning, Elisa.
Good morning.
So the president's economic team has been widely criticized, from everything from the handling of the financial crisis to unemployment. Republicans have called for Larry Summers and Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner to both be fired. Is that what's going on here?
No, the official story, at least, is much tamer than that. Summers reportedly always planned to leave at some point. He has to be back at Harvard by January or lose his tenure there. And his family is still in Cambridge. What's true is that there's often a big exodus from the White House around the midterm elections, which on the one hand means a lot of uncertainty. On the other hand, it gives the president a chance to make some changes.
So what kind of changes are we talking about here?
Well, there's a lot of speculation that Obama will pick either a woman or somebody from the business world or a woman from the business world as Summers' replacement. This morning, I spoke to a woman named Amy Siskind. She's president of the New Agenda, which is a national organization that aims to promote women. She mentioned two possible candidates who fit that last profile. One is Zoe Cruz, who used to be president of Morgan Stanley. The other is Ursula Burns, who's CEO at Xerox.
There's two women leaders who, you know, have succeeded, been able to work well with others. These are women who have been through and led through times of economic peril.
Other names that have been mentioned are Laura Tyson, who's a former Clinton advisor, and Rebecca Blank, who's in the Commerce Department.
Marketplace's Elisa Roth reporting from New York. Elisa, thanks.
You're welcome.
In Washington today, Jack DeCoster is going to tell a congressional committee he was horrified to learn eggs from his facilities may have made thousands of people sick. As many as 1,600 were contaminated with salmonella. DeCoster blames an outside supplier for selling his company a tainted ingredient, but his farm operations have a long history of controversy. Iowa Public Radio's Kathleen Masterson has this profile.
Jack DeCoster grew up in abject poverty in Turner, Maine, says his childhood friend and neighbor Ralph Caldwell. Caldwell says DeCoster's father died when he was 12 or 13, and he took over running the small poultry operation to support his family.
He came up the hard way by working hard and taking god-awful chances.
By the time DeCoster graduated from high school, he'd grown the operation from 200 hens to nearly 10,000. As his business expanded, DeCoster donated money to build a Baptist church in his hometown and supported other community projects in Iowa.
And he's a born-again Baptist, but that don't count on Monday, though. That counts on Sunday. On Monday, he's a ruthless businessman.
The state of Iowa classified DeCoster as a habitual violator of environmental regulations in 2000. He was banned from expanding his farms or starting new ones for 5 years, but he got around this by acquiring permits using other associates' names. At today's congressional hearing, the subcommittee has requested that DeCoster present inspection records for his facilities and documentation of past violations. In Ames, Iowa, I'm Kathleen Masterson for Marketplace.
World stock markets are down today after the Federal Reserve said it was standing by to do more to help the U.S. economy. European shares lower right now, 0.5% on average. Yesterday, the NASDAQ and S&P lost a little ground. The Dow, however, added a few points, 7 points to be exact, to close at 10,761.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Event Marketing, working to help small businesses and nonprofits make their events easier with event registration and marketing tools. ConstantContact.com. By Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio. And by the new Rosetta Stone, introducing their latest advancement in language learning, version 4 Totali. Information at rosettastone.com/APM.
The basic finding out of a study at Columbia University, most of us have no clue when it comes to energy savings. Marketplace's sustainability reporter Adrian Hill is with us now in the studio to talk about where a lot of us are getting things wrong. Good morning, Adrian.
Good morning, Steve.
So what the study found is that when it comes to energy savings, we're all idiots?
Yeah, pretty much. Basically, researchers asked people what one thing they could do that would be the most effective way to save energy. And survey says people said turning off the lights.
Well, that makes sense. What's wrong with that?
Well, turning off the light and other curtailment activities, as researchers like to call them, may not save as much energy as we like to think. A better choice might be making efficiency improvements, like installing more energy-efficient light bulbs or driving non-gas guzzlers.
So what are the things, Adrian, we do that we think save more energy than they actually save?
Well, so there's turning off the lights. Yeah. There's driving slower on the highway, maybe stepping it down to 55. People think that saves more energy than it actually does. Unplugging your phone charger. Again, these things do save energy, but not as much as people guess.
And what do we underrate? What saves more than most people think they save?
Driving cars that get better mileage, using room air conditioners instead of central air, and running more efficient appliances.
Are there any thoughts, Adrian, as to why the misconception is out there, why people overestimate the energy savings of some choices and then they underestimate the savings of others?
One explanation that makes a lot of sense to me is that doing things like driving less, turning off the lights, changing the thermostat are all activities that are free or save money. On the other hand, new light bulbs cost money up front. New appliances or a new car cost a lot of money, and they're just a bigger commitment. One of my favorite findings in this study is those of us who do things like turn off the lights and unplug our chargers actually have less accurate perceptions of energy use and energy savings than people who don't.
Why is that?
Well, one theory the researchers propose is that those of us who do turn out the lights are unrealistic optimists about the impact of our choices on the environment.
All right. Marketplace's sustainability reporter Adrian Hill with us here in the studio. Adrian, thanks.
Thank you.
And finally, for those 33 miners in Chile who are trapped 2,000 feet beneath the Earth's surface, Chilean officials are offering PR folks to teach the men how to become more media savvy. Through closed-circuit TV, the miners will receive instructions on things like how to remain poised during an interview and how to avoid answering a question. So when they're finally rescued from that subterranean crevice, they'll find comfort in another enclosed space, the media bubble. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.